the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Anger. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Now, frustrations in two of the four domains tend to lead people to getting the most annoyed, hassled, and/or irritated. The operational domain, doing what they want to do, and the fairness domain, getting what they want and being treated how they want. Humans get annoyed when something annoys them. Ha ha, Dr. Cashy, I know you're a darn genius. Sounds ridiculous, but that's it. Referencing, bringing up the principle of variable outcomes, where you can have a variety of outcomes with the same stimulus, the differentiating factor between the outcomes is the appraisal of the stimulus and the response. Variable responses between people. This is colloquially referred to as a perspective. They take different perspectives on the stimulus, and therefore they respond differently, which leads to variable outcomes between people with the same stimulus. Okay. Thankfully, it's easier to talk about more generally, okay, even though everybody gets annoyed for different reasons, right? It's easier to talk about more generally because of cultural and societal expectations of behavior. Generally, people that share similar views about the world, for example, part of the same culture, either microculture, household, workplace, macroculture, country living, etc., tend to be annoyed by similar things. I bring up annoyance specifically because annoyance seems to be one of the most provoking emotions. That is, it tends to generate the greatest sense of urgency. People are highly, highly sensitive to frustrations that lead to annoyance. Annoying frustrations, therefore, tend to exceed their frustration tolerance quickly, revving up their oh shit machine. That is to say, when annoyed, the space between stimulus and response shrinks enough that it makes them less likely to do smart stuff and more likely to do dumb stuff. Okay, I can't stand it! This is particularly pernicious when we interpret the behaviors or even the very presence of another person to be annoying, even just by existing. Some people, they're in the same room and you're like, oh, that person. Oh, gosh. Okay. If you are apparently stuck with a person you find irritating, then this trapped feeling will frustrate you operationally and frustrate your sense of fairness. See where we're going? It feels impossible to do what you want to do. You feel almost by default as if you're being treated poorly, either by that person or the frustration god sticking you with this person. And of course, the only thing that's fair, the only thing that, you know, what you deserve is if you can get on with what you were doing before and this person was just kicking rocks on Mars. Other obvious annoyances are getting cut off in traffic or trapped in bumper-to-bumper traffic, standing in line, insults or backhanded compliments, people acting obnoxiously, right? The list of annoying things would be a CVS receipt long, okay? Things that prompt you to tell yourself, ugh, humans, they are horrible. Humans, I can't stand them. There has to be a better way. There must be something I can do, or else. Or else what? What happens when a person demands to control something that's obviously the result of random chance, like traffic or outages, or of superior authorities, such as employers or the government? Well, they get disappointed, right? Perhaps? No, they throw a royal fit. They act impulsively. They vent. They vice. Because, you know, in their infinite wisdom, gearing up their body for a fight to the death is definitely the best way to resolve being put on hold for longer than a doll like them can possibly bear. Right? That's what happens to your body. But think about this sort of response to a frustrating stimulus at work, with coworkers that you let annoy you. At home, think about this to any roommates or spouses or kids that you let annoy you. Do they frustrate your daily operations? Maybe. But is it because you've worked yourself up and making it too hard to work? Or is it because they're actually obstructing your ability to do what you want for other reasons? Something worth auditing. In either case, though, does it violate your sense of fairness? getting what you want, being treated how you want? Yeah, likely. Okay. So how does a typical person respond to something like this? Well, they act insane, of course, by getting into double trouble. They turn that annoyance, that urgency, those urges, they upgrade them into anger. That anger fills them with righteous indignation. Psychology, okay? This is the perfect storm for a rage-filled stress response in your body. Where before we spoke about the frustration-induced stress response leading to flight physiology, anxiety, this is how frustration has a psychobiological underpinning of a frustration-induced stress response leading to fight physiology. Granted, the physiology is similar, but the way you get there is different. Let us use the STFU model to break it down, okay? Stimulus, thinking, feeling, and urging. We'll take the opportunity to see how the stimulus, thinking, feeling, and urging, they all interact with each other cyclically before generating a behavioral response, okay? So you start with the frustrating stimulus. An annoying person they hate, they did it again. And this led to some provoking thoughts. I can't work like this, and now I must deal with this guy in my space. Ridiculous. And that fostered some feelings. That fostered some feelings. Feeling hassled, annoyed, irritated, okay? And those thoughts and those feelings, they mixed together to create some urges. They cultivated urges where I just want to tell that guy to F off, but I gotta be polite, okay? Now, had they learned to STFU earlier, they could have audited the situation and told themselves, self, I'd love to spit in this guy's coffee and tell him to F off, but it's better if I get on with my life, be successful, and allow for his toxic personality to do the work for me. It's the way she goes. It's the way she goes. In this instance, they're making the choice to think rationally and act deliberately and respond on purpose, with purpose, to get themselves a constructive outcome, rather than trying to fake it till they make it, holding it in, restricting themselves, hating it until they can't stand it anymore. We already went over the restriction disinhibition patterning with things like binge eating, so this is a very similar construct, okay? Rather than trying to fake it till they make it, rather than acting rationally, responding deliberately, they try and fake it till they make it, hold it in, restrict until they can't stand it. And then their feelings have a heart attack and they suffer a paroxysm. Fancy science word. That's a little meta reading, okay? Now let's do the next best thing. Instead of moving on with their life and being a happy, productive, stressful human, they decide to instead get themselves into double trouble. Even better, double trouble resulting in a paroxysm. That's a fancy word for your feelings having a heart attack, blowing up, melting down, conniptions, outbursts, etc. Just general acts of insanity resulting from emotional disturbance on account of self-inflicted double trouble. So now they're left with this urge that they just have to spit in this guy's coffee and tell him to screw off. Now instead of disputing it rationally, realizing it's dumb, moving on, and doing the right thing, they decide to restrain themselves instead, consuming all of their precious frustration tolerance. So on the outside, it looks the same. On the outside, it does look the same. Inside, there are massive differences. Inside, they still believe that telling the guy to screw off and spitting in his coffee is the right thing to do. They really believe that. But they hold back because of the consequences of doing what they think is the right thing. See how this sort of strange value conflict can cause all sorts of crazy stuff? Where you think you are being barred, you think you're being blocked from doing the right thing? That's where righteous indignation comes from. It's pretty rough to hold yourself back from doing what you think is right. And in a case like this, if it were audited properly, the person would have seen that, okay, this is actually a dumb thing and now I can move on and do smart stuff. However, if it's left alone, the person will believe that they're doing the right thing and then restrain themselves and do something else, you know, and build up instead of just moving on with their lives and doing the right thing. So what happens? They went from having a major frustration in fairness and a modest frustration in operations to having a major frustration in all domains, operational, emotional, achievement, and fairness. They're majorly blocked from what they want to do. They are seething the furthest from content they can imagine. They're obviously obstructed from achieving their goal of seeing this guy cry like a baby running for the hills. And then, to add insult to injury, they're quadruply frustrated in terms of fairness, at least. They feel they're treated like crap by this person. They know they deserve better than being around this person, and the rules of culture and law are blocking them from administering their justice. Plus, this a-hole gets away with everything. And you get berated for every little thing, and this guy gets away with murder. I can't stand it. So what do? You might be able to hold it in long enough to go into the bathroom and let it out, scream into a pillow, or go home and yell at your spouse, or take it out on your kids or your pets. Prevent or vice. See where this is going? Okay. So all these thoughts are running through this person's head and upgrades their mild or even moderately annoying frustration into a full-blown emotional disturbance. Anger. This anger now upgrades their desire to spit in his coffee and call him an a-hole into other strange and violent fantasies, like drop-kicking him in the distal convoluted tubule. You might know what I'm talking about. And guess what? That cognitive appraisal and affective integration, okay, the interactions between your thinking, feeling, and urging, those violent thoughts communicate your brain to prepare your body for violence. See the connection with stress now? That psychobiological connection? Indeed, it takes a higher level of restraint to hold back those other crazy things that are cooking up in that big creative brain. They start acting aggressively. They start acting territorial. They're myopic and hierarchical in their thinking. Hierarchical in their thinking. You are wrong and I am right and this is mine. And since this is mine and I am right and you are wrong, I am better and I deserve more than you. And I will use my body to prove that I am right and I am better and more deserving and that you are wrong. Because logic, okay? Makes sense, right? It makes approximately zero sense. And that seems to be what people do every day when they yell or when they flail or when they have outbursts. That's what's happening, this sort of sophomoric righteous indignation. Anger represents the apex of narcissistic buffoonery. So at first, this fit is internal, but the stress starts building in your body. Adrenaline, cortisol, and other glucocorticoid hormones and other brain secretagogues, they start to surge. Heart rate goes up. Blood pressure builds. Pupils dilate. You breathe faster. Your chest starts heaving. Your posture changes. Your face wrinkles. Your eyes get squinty and your jaws and your fists clench. Okay? Now, there's a lot of fancy science stuff to describe this, but I'll leave you with a little nugget here. If you think violent things, it prepares your body for violence. If you think scary things, then it prepares your body for scary things. If you are constantly anxious or constantly angry, then your body will constantly be in a state of readiness for years. And this will happen until the person has kept their brain but lost their mind and turned their body into jello. You get all the fun gifts that chronic stress rewards people with, like organ failure and excessive fat. And generally miserable lives where they solve problems by working themselves up about it instead of just solving it. Is life full of frustrations? Yes, absolutely. Is anger a requirement under any circumstance? No! Approach things as they are, and you bridge the gap between science and sanity. For now, think about turning situations like this into a game, especially recurring instances of annoyance that tend to leave you in a homicidal rage. Video games and puzzles, they can be frustrating as heck. In fact, they're engineered to be frustrating. However, gamification aspects of this make it a motivating challenge rather than a violent attack on what you want or how fair you think life is. See the difference? Like the game, you'll have many opportunities to learn from what mistakes you make and approach similar situations with updated strategies. Frustration and annoyances are sufficiently motivating to do better. If instead of updating their strategy for next time, a person decides to get frustrated about their annoyance, they increase the risk of disturbing themselves with anger. Anger creates a toxic urgency to do dumb stuff. Dr. Cashy thinks it's better for you to do smart stuff. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out!